In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Transfiguration story is always the reading for the last Sunday of Epiphany. It's supposed to serve as the final revelation of who Jesus is before the Passion. Moses and Elijah show up to say that this is the guy that all the law and the prophets have been pointing to. He's the long foretold Messiah. The point is that with this story and their witness, we can now pivot to our walk toward Easter, knowing that we are on the right path, following the Christ. That's why the church puts it here in the lectionary every year. But for me, it's the ultimate Epiphany story for another reason. For me, it has everything to do with Peter's reaction. Peter has this amazing revelation with these two towering figures of the Bible. And he asks if it can stay just like this. He wants to build tents for them and remain there. He's basically asking, can we avoid going through all the uncertainty? Can we bypass all the doubt and the decisions that get made and how to follow Jesus down there in the real world? And instead, just pitch some tents here and live in this moment forever? I feel that that is the quintessential human reaction to encountering God. We meet God on the mountaintop, and we want to just stay there and never go down. We have the moment of assurance, and we prefer that certainty to having to live a life of real faith. We'd rather live in the comfort than have to venture forth, following Christ where we know He must go, a place that will test our limits and our devotion. But Jesus doesn't even allow for a real pause. New paragraph, and there is ministry to be done. That, I think, is how epiphanies really work. God shows up in our lives. We have the moment of certainty about what it is we should be doing, the feeling of fulfillment about how we are living our lives, that tiny glimpse of God's presence in our midst, and we strive to hold on to it. But its purpose isn't for us to stay put and dwell on it. Its purpose is always to push us on to the work that Christ has prepared for us to do out in the world. I generally don't title my sermons, but if I did, this one would be, Just Do It. With all respect to Nike, this, I think, is what Jesus' message to his followers is here. He gets frustrated at them when this father brings his son to be healed. Not because he has any problem with healing the boy, obviously, because he goes ahead and takes care of that, but because they seem to be waiting around for him to do it. He wants them to just do it. He's the Christ, showing them how to fulfill all the law and the prophets, how to be the heirs of Moses and Elijah in the world, and they're supposed to just do that. We're supposed to just do that. To make real the gospel. Not to bask in the certainty of our knowing who Jesus really is. Not to build monuments to the greatness of Jesus and memorialize that time we felt his presence, but to go out and continue his movement and make others feel his presence. There's real work to be done, and we can't just wait around in the places we've encountered Jesus before, hoping that he shows up again, or keep praying that he will do the ministry that is staring us right in the face. We need to do the work. My mom used to tell this story about a woman at the church we went to growing up. My mom was leaving church one day, and the woman asked what she was up to for the rest of the day. My mom said she had to run by the store to get a new toaster because our current one had short-circuited that morning. And the woman asked, "Well, have you really prayed about it yet and given God a chance to steer your actions on this decision?" I'm all for talking to God about pretty much anything and everything in life. And my mother has a prayer practice that would put me to shame. But she just said, "I don't really have time for that. So I'm just going to trust that God wants me to get the best one I can for the price I'm willing to pay." And I think that's probably a pretty good principle. I think that's applicable to many things in our lives, far more consequential than a toaster. We should talk to God about everything, but we can't build a tent and just live there. We're confronted with opportunities for ministry every day, and Jesus doesn't want us to wait around for Him to do them. He wants us to do exactly what we already know He would do. Bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, proclaim God's favor to the outcast, and heal the hurting. You may have heard me reference before Mother Teresa's journals that were published after her death. In them, she talks at length about her faith life, and particularly her conversations with God. Growing up in Macedonia, she felt she actually heard God telling her that she needed to go serve in Calcutta, India. Her superiors thought she was crazy, but because of her certainty and her determination, they finally let her go, more or less on her own, to start an order there, the Sisters of Charity, serving the sick and the poor. However, she writes that after that, when she actually got to Calcutta, it was as if God had deserted her. There was silence when she prayed that went on for decades. But she didn't go back home to the last place she heard God's voice and try and recapture that. She had experienced God, and she knew where God wanted her to be and really what God wanted her to do. When the hungry person came, she fed him. When she went out on the streets and found a sick person, she nursed them back to health. When she encountered a person of the untouchable class, she embraced them so that they knew the love of God. She had the life of Jesus as a model once she got to Calcutta. She already knew what God wanted her to do there. So every day, the answer seemed obvious. We've got Moses and the law teaching us how to order our lives. We've got Elijah and the prophets calling us to act in faithfulness. We've even got Jesus and the gospel showing us practically what that looks like in real life. And as a bonus, we've got Paul and the writings of the early church telling us how to do it as a community. The epiphanies are abundant. It's time to just do it. Faith isn't a static thing. It's something that must be put into action. I don't need God to speak to me about how we should treat immigrants or foreigners or newcomers, because Moses and the law already made it abundantly evident that we're to welcome the stranger because we were once strangers in a strange land and God provided us a home. We shouldn't need lots of debate about how to care for the poor and how much to share, because the prophets repeatedly warn that if we abandon the poor, God will abandon us. I could wait around to hear the voice of Jesus telling me what to do every time someone comes with a need. The need to be consoled, to be reconciled and forgiven, to have hope breathed into their life again. But really, his example is generally crystal clear on what he would want done. And we don't need some revelation from God about how to be church or to hold some conference to decide who can be in and who is out, because we already have the writings of John that tell us that by this all people will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. What we need more than anything right now is for everyone who has met the living God to go out and live the life that God is inspiring you to lead in every moment you can. It doesn't matter what your epiphany was. You may have encountered God in the overwhelming beauty of nature, showing forth the majesty of the eternal and the infinite. Hold on to that vision. Carry the experience with you, but carry it onward, because the call of Jesus is always to the next thing, the next opportunity to make the kingdom of God present. We all need to have the experience of God. It's part of why we're a sacramental church, because we believe those sacraments are reliable ways of encountering God in our world. We need that. You need to know it deep in your bones that this story is true. We need to talk to God. We need to read the scriptures and look for the epiphanies. But don't miss the most important step, because you're so busy waiting for God to show up and give you a sign that you forget to just go and live the life He wants. The signs have been numerous, and the cloud of witnesses has spoken volumes over the centuries. Now you've got to just do it. The point of the epiphany of the Transfiguration is that they would go out and transform the world. The point of all revelations about Jesus, the end of all encounters with God, is that we would go out and live the reality of Jesus' life among us. Jesus was the Christ, and He taught us how to live. He's still teaching us how to live. Our job now is to go and do it. Amen.